Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour, Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 26, 2014, or is the 30th day of the 4th lunar month, 2018. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day, 7th day Sabbath, with a song entitled, A Precious Memory. Precious memory, unseen angel, sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfold. Precious memory, all they linger, all ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious Father, loving Mother, why across the lonely years, and old home scene of my childhood, and for memory appears. Just memory, all they linger, all they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. In the stillness of the midnight, echoes from the past I hear. Old time seems sadness bringing from that lovely lonesome where. Precious memory, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. As I travel on the life's pathway, know not what the years may hold. As I ponder, hope grows fonder, precious memories flood my soul. Precious memory, how they linger, how ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold.
Part 5, and typically Elijah restores everything. With these solemn words, we're on page 24 of the White House Recruiter by the V.T. Hutter. In these solemn words, Yahshua warns that the slaughter, the antitypical Passover, testimonies, volume 5, 505, and 211, testimonies, volume 1, page 190. And 198 is to take place among those who are the household of Yahweh, the church, for the escaped ones are sent to the Gentiles. So what did we just read here? These solemn words of Yahshua warns that the slaughter, which is in Ezekiel 9, it takes place at the beginning of the antitypical Passover, which took place at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2002. Okay. The escaped ones were the house of David. Let's just call it that way. And the 144,000, they will be a part of this house of David when they show up, and they will have escaped out of the Adventist church. So the house of David also escaped out of the Adventist church. So the escaped ones come out of the spiritual Israel of today. Okay. Obviously, the angels who execute the slaughter are to take away from the Seventh-day Adventist church at Gilead Center, those who are figuratively depicted in the one instance as bad fish, and in another instance as guests not having the wedding garment on. So either way you look at it, our people at Gilead Center in the 11th parabolic hour were either depicted in the one instance as bad fish, or in another instance as guests not having on their wedding garment. Here, let every serious-minded reader pause to ponder what inspiration says, Isaiah 66, 19 and 20, explained that those who escaped the slaughter of Isaiah 66, 15 and 16 are to be sent as missionaries unto the Gentiles, who as yet know not the Elohim. Hence these escaped remaining ones are the Elohim's remnant, his first fruits of the harvest, his godless servants, the 144,000, the elect, and only they, none others, the scriptures declare, shall bring all their brethren from all nations in a clean vessel into the purified house of Yahweh, his white house. What is more, no right-thinking mind can even begin to conceive of the possibility that with any less holy and formidable an agency than such a mighty ministry, one escaped from the sin, sinners, and judgment can and will the Yahweh ever finish their work and cut it short in the righteousness, Romans 9:28, thereby saving his people from the terrible tempest that is now about to break upon the earth and lash it length and breadth. Now let's just reflect on a little bit of what we just read. Now he said that Yahweh cannot finish his work with an unreliable people, people that are settled on their knees, people that are satisfied with their attainment. And as far as they've gone, they're not interested in becoming purified, sanctified, and made white, and then have a purified ministry. No, they languish along there for 33 long years, playing the devil's advocate, and then at the very end, they don't know what's going on, and Yahshua comes and cuts them off, and all the time they should have been spending that 33 years marching in the light of heaven's glory, and completely purified and sanctified from day one. They had the sanctuary service to do it. They had no excuse not to. That's what the V.T. Hall was talking about here, a ministry. So it says, Satan grimly knows this. He knows his time is short and growing fearfully shorter. He knows that his faithful ministry are soon to be disclosed to view, and to take the field against him. He knows that will be his Waterloo. Hence his supreme effort now to eliminate them, finding out at last, though, that he cannot do so. He consequently, his consequent aim will be to bring the time of the trouble, such as it never was, Daniel 12:1, in the hope of the destroying all. Now, Obama represents this beginning of the time of trouble, in which Satan through him is definitely focused on Yahweh's remnant people, and that's what he's getting ready for. Just like the dragon back in his day stood before the woman to devour the man-child as soon as he was born. He had to wait for the man-child to appear, though. So today, the old Satan, he has to wait for Yahshua to appear again, a second time, He has to wait for him to appear. But when he does appear, he's going to appear with 144,000. And this time, Yahshua appears full grown. He doesn't come and is born in a manger again and has to grow up for 30 years. No, he comes full grown. And when Satan sees him, he says, oh no, it's going to be like when David came into the camp one day of King Saul and his brethren and the armies of Israel, and they were being challenged by these Goliath and the Philistines on him. It was a surprise. David, he expected to see a battle going on ensuing. He was just going to go down and see how his brothers were doing, along with the army of Israel. He didn't expect to see them languishing there and fearful and to go out and meet the challenge of this lone Goliath. David says, well, isn't there a cause? And they said, yeah, but nobody has enough nerve to go and accept the challenge. And David says, well, if that's all you want and needed a man, a hunk will fight with him. So see, when you're covered by the blood and when you're anointed by the Spirit and you have the power of Yahweh in you, and you've already, this has already been proven, David had already had it proved to him that Yahweh was with him. I mean, he slew a lion and a bear with his bare hands, you know. Nothing but the power of the Spirit working through David's hands that he's able to do this. He knew what he had in his hands. David knew what he had. He had Yahweh guiding them. That's what he knew. Just like we here at the house of David, we have Yahweh guiding us, and we know it. Okay. Let's continue. It was a similar mass murder method that he employed in the days of the Pharaoh and his drowning of the Hebrew male children, Exodus 1:22. Okay, it says, in the hope of doing away with the Moses, and again in the days of Herod, in his fiendishly slaying all of the infants from the 2 years old and under, Matthew 2:16. Now keep in mind that in Moses' day, when he was just 3 months old, they were slaying all the children 2 years and younger, the male children. That was a type for the slaying of those in Yahshua's day. Okay? So he says now, but as Elohim spared his own son then, he will likewise spare his own son today, or his own people. Michael, the great prince and the deliverer, shall stand up, Daniel 12:1. For all who stand up for him, and whose names consequently are retained in the book of life, and shall gloriously deliver them. These two aspects of the conflict, Satan's aim to destroy Elohim's elect, and Michael's aim to deliver them, brings a great and dreadful day of the Yahweh and his son, I might add. The two working together. Okay. His son executing the word of his father, and his father executing the power to deliver the word. Although the newly revealed a light of the truth and now shining on the subject is new unto all of us, it is not new in the scriptures, but it keeping us wide awake and on the alert for the progressive unfoldment of the truth. Is with the spirit of Elohim, has through the years signaled our attention in the ensuing statements. Wonderful possibilities are open unto those who lay hold of the divine assurances of the Elohim's word. So there are glorious truths to come before the people of the Elohim, privileges and duties which they do not even suspect to be in the scriptures will be laid open before them. As they follow on in the path of the humble obedience, doing his will, they will know more and more of the oracles of the Yahweh, Testimony Volume 8, page 322. For we talk about the fifth angel's message and the second angel's message, and we think we have some understanding of the third angel's message, but as long as we are content with a limited knowledge, we shall be disqualified for the obtaining of the clearer views of the truth, Gospel Workers, page 251, by the Ellen G. White. There is yet much precious truth to be revealed unto the people in this time of the peril and darkness. Verily, it is Satan's determined purpose for the preventing of the light of the truth from the shining into the hearts of the men. Precious truths that have long been in the obscurity are to be revealed in a light that will make manifest their sacred worth. For the Elohim will glorify his word, and that it may appear in a light in which we have never before beheld it. Testimonies on the Sabbath School Work 62. Counsels on the Sabbath School Work 25. Well, we need never expect that when the Yahshua has light for his people, Satan will stand calmly by and make no effort for the preventing them from the receiving of it. For he will work upon the minds for the exciting of the distrust and jealousy and unbelief. Let us beware that we do not refuse the light that the Elohim sends, because it does not come in the way to please us. Let not the Elohim's blessings be turned away from us, because we know not the time of our visitation. If there are any who do not see and accept the light themselves, let them not stand in the way of the others. Let it not be said of this highly favored people, as of the Jews, when the good news of the kingdom was preached unto them, they entered not in themselves, and themselves, them that were entering in, they hindered. Testimony, Volume 5, page 728. For the prophecies we all know are heaven's light unto our feet. We failed to open our eyes and hearts unto them at the time that the Yahshua would have us profit by the unrolling of the scroll. How then shall we escape being like the blind, leading the blind? Brethren, for your soul's sake, do not pass lightly over this life and death matter. For as you have seen, the light shining on the subject illuminates the fact that the subsequent to the ninth hour group and message, they were first to come in addition unto the message, then the sealed servants, as the all-consequential message of the judgment of the living, and the all-powerful servants, the escaped ones who are to go unto all nations, rather than only to many initial assurance, that there was to be an addition to the third angel's message, came unto us long ago in the following words. I saw angels hurrying to and fro in the heaven, descending onto the earth, and again ascending into the heaven, preparing for the fulfillment of some important event. And I saw another mighty angel commissioned to descend onto the earth for the uniting of his voice with the third angel, and for the giving power and force unto his message. For this message seemed to be an addition unto the third message, joining it as the midnight cry joined the second angel's message in 1844, early writing, page 277. Plainly then, it is in the 11th hour servant's time with the additional message for the message of the judgment of the living, who rescue Elohim's people out of the Babylon. Indeed, never until the church herself has been freed from the hypocrites and the abominable and thus made white and clean can the Elohim morally pour out his spirit in the Pentecostal power upon his people and sound a cry, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. Okay, I hope you all got that Pentecostal power. It comes at the appointed time, not out of season. Okay, and note that the voice which calls Elohim's people out of the Babylon clearly implies that there is no sin in the place unto which the voice calls them. Moreover, there could be no justification in calling them out of the Babylon for the saving them from the plagues that are for the overtaking her because of her sins, if the called out ones are to be brought into another place of sin, for the wages of the sin could be no more or less damaging in the one place of the sin than in another. From these now unfolding scriptures, it is plainly seen, too, that the message of the judgment of the living in the heavens, final addition, is in the heavens as the final edition of the glad tidings for the saints and of the tidings for the sinners, or of the sad tidings for the sinners. Let's read that whole thing again. From this now unfolding scriptures, it is plainly seen, two, that the message of the judgment of the living is with the heaven's final edition of the glad tidings for the saints and of the sad tidings for the sinners. Hence it is to be proclaimed by the godless servants, 144,000, the servants of the 11th hour call. Now keep in mind, every time we mention one of these hours, we're talking about at the end of that hour is when the call for the next servants to work in the next hour succeeding that hour. So it's only natural then to say the 144,000 are the 11th hour call servants, because there's only five calls made early morning at the third hour, at the sixth, ninth hour, and the 11th hour. So those calls all came at the end of those subsequent hours that we just read about to proceed in the next hour. Okay, it says, thus far, the fact stands out that this final call comes at the last hour of the parabolical day, just before the gospel work closes, being the last message of the message into the world, and also the last call for the servant. It must therefore be borne by the Elijah the prophet, by him who appears just before the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, Malachi 4:5, Matthew 17:11. Accordingly, the servants of the at the end of the 11th hour must be called unto the work by him during the time he is announcing of the day of the Yahshua, the day in which the Yahshua takes his fan in his hand, Matthew 3:12. For that day was the Passover day. Okay, 2002. Volume 5, page 80. Testimonies, Ministers, page 373. And purge his floor. Well, he started purging his floor. And he is appears to be completely have purged the floor, the third floor of the Adventist, and that was Gilead's thing. Okay, once he puts the wheat into his barn, 144,000, Matthew 13:30, into his kingdom church, the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven. That's where he's going to put the wheat. He's going to put this in the kingdom of heaven's garner. Now you get that? And the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of David, is this garner of the heavenly kingdom. It ever remains without tares, and hence a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and without blemish, Ephesians 5:27. Bethlehem's White House indeed, see Isaiah 52:1 and Joel 3:17 and Nahum 1:15. And the other parabolic terms, the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, is his casting out of the bad fish and putting the good into the vessels. Okay, now we have 12 vessels that showed up there to put the good in. And where'd the bad fish go? They went back out into the water where they came out the first time. Where'd the good fish go? In other words, where'd the bad fish go? They went back into the water. Where'd the good fish go? They went into 12 vessels. 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000. Matthew 13:47-48. It is the day in which he sits the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left, Matthew 25:33. It is the judgment day of the living. Now, it is not the judgment day of the living. It is in the time of the judgment day of the living, which is in the 12th parabolic hour. The cleansing of the sanctuary on the earth. The work which purifies the church and makes it what? Daniel 12:10 and Malachi 3:1-3. Now, let's read that last part again. It says, it is the judgment. It is in the judgment day of the living, in the 12th parabolic hour, that the cleansing of the sanctuary on the earth, the work which purifies the church of the Seventh-day Adventists, with Brother Johnson at the helm, representing the angel of Laodicea, and make it white. Okay, Daniel 12:10. Malachi 3:1-3. True, we Seventh-day Adventists have heretofore not known and not taught these additional aspects of the judgment. But only because truth is ever timely, ever unfolding as time goes on. So it is that our knowledge of the one phase of the message is followed by the Elohim's revealing another phase of it. How glad and how anxious then ought we to keep pace with the unfolding of the scroll, as we keep pace with the time, and how joyous we should be to know that the Elohim has not forsaken us, but has again visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle, Zechariah 10:3. Okay, now that the time and truth have locked arms and are hastening on together, we must quickly take hold and follow on too, for we cannot afford to repeat the mistakes of the Jews and of the nominal churches and thus be left behind. Council on Sabbath School Work, pages 28-30. Testimony, Volume 5, page 728. We dare not, we must not. For the terms inspect, cleanse, purify, cut off, cast out, judge, harvest, and separate, etc., are now seen to be general synonyms, all pointing unto the one event, Yahshua's coming unto his temple, church, Gilead's center. This is the temple that he came to. This is the temple in the scriptures. Gilead's center, Kermit, Texas, to purify his living saints. In other words, we were the only ones at Gilead Center that was classified as living saints that were still classified as part of the members and part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Gilead Center was the only place where the living saints were abiding at in the whole Adventist world, worldwide. And he finally found three of them that were classified only because they were signing a crime of the abomination and nothing else, nothing more or less than that. And so he separated those three. Okay, this work he has variously illustrated. First, the separating of the tares from among wheat, Matthew 13:30. Next, the separating of the bad fish from among the good, Matthew 13:48. Then the separating of the sheep from among the goats, Matthew 25:32. Again, as casting out those who fail to put on the wedding garment, Matthew 22:12-13. And last, as casting from the guest chambers, the church, those who fail to multiply the talents given them, Matthew 25:28-30. This variously depicted judicial work to controlling the concept in Yahshua's parables of the kingdom. Yahshua likened unto a refiner's fire, unto the fuller's soap, and until it purifies the silver, Malachi 3:2-3. So it is clear to be seen that the spiritual harvest is exactly like the natural harvest. Both separate their grain from the tares and the chaff, the good from the bad. And in the words of Daniel, it is a judgment, or the time of the sanctuary shall be cleansed, Daniel 8:14. So it started at the house of Yahweh, 2002 in Kermit, Texas, the cleansing of the spiritual sanctuary here on earth. Adventist Church is the spiritual Israel of today, but the spiritual saints, the ones that were classified as saints, were the ones that had to be separated from the bad. Okay, and the only thing that cleansed and brought them forth was a restored sanctuary system. If others hadn't restored the sanctuary system in 1970, we wouldn't have come forth in 2002. There wouldn't have been no coming forth of anyone called saints. 1 Peter 4:17 says, okay, in the words of the John the Revelator, it is in the hour of his judgment of the living. Revelation 14:7, and in the words of the prophet Malachi, it is in the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, Malachi 4:5, that the Yahshua, the Son, suddenly comes unto his temple. That's his church. Gilead Center was Yahshua's church. That was his church. He personally endorsed and raised that church up in 1970, his brother Johnson at the helm. To refine as with the fire, to wash as with the fuller soap, and to purge as gold and silver, the sons of Levi, Malachi 3:1-3. Yahshua did this for 33 years at Kermit, Texas, where the headquarters were. He did this for 33 years at Gilead Center. He refined as with fire, he washed them with the fuller soap. He purged them as gold and silver. It took him 33 years to bring forth a refined product from 1970 to 2003. With well over 2 billion mortals ripe on the ripening in the great harvest field, we may well consider the greatest of the harvest. It says that for the Yahshua himself affirms, for the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few, Matthew 9:37. Most are dreadful, though, are its consequences for the tares and the chaff. When the realization that they are lost sweeps over them, and in the hall they cry out, for the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved, Jeremiah 8:20. Thus, adding evidence unto evidence, the scriptures overwhelmingly show the harvest to be in the judgment of the living period in the 12th parabolic hour, for the Yahshua is gathering of the wheat and for his own from among all the nations, and is destroying of the tares and the chaff, starting with Gilead Center 2002 at Kermit, Texas. For the harvest, therefore, is truly the end of the world. Okay, so the harvest is the end of the end time of the world. In other words, it's in the end time period. It's not in the end of the world. It's in the beginning and ongoing until the end of the end. It is the time in which Yahshua sits upon the throne of his glory. The church purified, Matthew 25:31. Isaiah 62:1-3, 66:18-19. It is his separating of the sheep from the goats. The work that brings this sinful world to an end. We're looking for the sinful world to be brought to an end? Well, it's here, folks. It's here. Let us not, however, forget that there is an enemy who is determined to keep Elohim's people in the darkness, in the ignorance of the time of truth. See Testimony of Volume 5, page 709 and 728. And what more damaging darkness could be seen to keep them in than in the ignorance of that which Elohim would have them to know, while their judgment is pending, while they are being weighed in the balances of the sanctuary? None, absolutely none. Consequently, it is to be expected that now more than ever, before all of us are to meet with this fiercest opposition, so-called great men have not so much even as a spark of the divine light. Will, acting like the madmen, hastily spread confusion everywhere. This they will do by the engendering prejudice, exalting baseless theories by the fabricating and propagating falsehood, by the hurling scorn and ridicule, by the mongering gossip and heresy, and by the engaging in the character assassination. Really none of this will faze those whose fortress is the Yahshua and who heed his precious, inspiring counsel in the following passages. Do not be unbelieving, for the more you are jostled, misapprehended, misstated, misrepresented, the more evidence you have that you are doing a work for the Master, and the more closely you must cling unto your Savior. Testimony, Volume 8, page 130. Do not be unbelieving, the more you are jostled, misapprehended, misstated, misrepresented, the more evidence you have that you are doing a work for the Master, and the more closely you must cling unto your Savior. Testimony of Volume 8, page 130. All who in that evil day would faithfully serve Elohim according unto the dictates of the conscience will need courage, firmness, and a knowledge of the Elohim and his word. For those who are true and to Elohim will be persecuted. Their motives will be impugned, their best efforts misinterpreted, and their names are cast out as evil. Gospel Workers 2:64. For the wrath of man shall praise thee, says the psalmist. The remainder of the wrath shalt thou restrain. Elohim means that testing truth shall be brought unto the front and become a subject of the examination and discussion, even if it is through the contempt placed upon it. For the minds of the people must be agitated. Every controversy, every reproach, every slander will be Elohim's means of provoking inquiry and awakening mind that otherwise would slumber. Testimony Volume 5, 453. Everything that can be done against the Elohim's message of the today will be done with even a greater vengeance than was manifest against the heaven's message in the days of Yahshua's first advent. For the devil knows that if he loses now, he loses forever, that he is to have no other chance. Unparalleled, therefore, is the urgency that every 11th hour church member, so that would be Gilead Center, they're the only 11th hour church that I know of, now quickly and solidly brace themselves against the enemy's efforts to deliver a knockout blow. Now, I have some new understanding here as I just made that comment about the 11th hour. Since the 11th hour is past, the 11th hour church is past, it no longer exists. Your 10th hour church is past and no longer exists. Whenever the hour passes, then the church of that hour also passes off the scene forever. Okay, so when the 10th hour ended in 1970, Mount Carmel, Shepherd Rod, that church ended forever. Okay. When the Adventists rejected Jones and Wagner in 1890, that basin ended forever, that feeding pasture. Adventists ended forever. The only thing that represented the Adventist church was the remnant that continued on, that didn't reject present truth at its appointed time. So, the 10th hour is over, the 11th hour is over. Those churches that occupied those hours are forever over. The only thing they have to show for them is that there's a legacy that they have produced, the 144,000, in the process. We must be alert, he says, to realize that the blow is to come from the surprisingly unsuspected foes, from the professed friends of the gospel, who are no less pious than were the priests in the Yahshua's day. For it is, moreover, but to be expected that the adversary will employ every agency possible to prevent the Yahshua from disclosing to view his now obscure 144,000 first fruit servants who are to go gather in the second fruits, Revelation 7:9. The enemy will try everything conceivable to confuse, becloud, and cover up the truth, especially on the subject of the 144,000. For these 144,000 servants of the Elohim being of the first fruits increment, or being of the first increment of the harvest, are called first fruits. And as all of them are of all the tribes of the children of Israel, Revelation 7:4, they are therefore necessarily harvested from the Israel of today, the church itself, whereas the great multitude, which no man can number, are gathered subsequently from all nations, Revelation 7:9, over whom the harlot Babylon the Great then reigned. Her reigning is symbolical, shown by her riding and ruling the scarlet colored beast, the next and last symbol of this world, Revelation 17:18-1-4. These called out ones are unmistakably the second fruits, for the law of the number is that for there to be a first, there must follow a second. So through the medium of the 144,000 first fruit servants, the 11th hour ministry, that would technically be the Gilead Synod, Kermit, Texas, what this prophecy would be pointing to now, have already pointed to and is through with it. It says, so through the medium of the 144,000 first fruit servants of the 11th hour ministry. Okay, so now, the 144,000 are not the first fruits of the 11th hour ministry, Gilead Synod. They're the first fruits of the 12th hour ministry, starting here in Liberty Hill, Texas. Okay, the Spirit of the Elohim calls the three angels' message to swell into a loud cry during the harvest, and will garner in the sheaves of the good from the fields of sin all nations over that great multitude of the second fruits who have not as yet heard of the Elohim's fame nor seen his glory. Isaiah 6:19-20. What an august privilege, brethren, with he who was scorned for whatever deserved to die a beggar by the bargain, with the completed judgment message during the 11th hour. Here we go again. So he would be prophetically talking about the Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. They're the only one that occupied the 11th hour. With the completed judgment message during the 11th hour. And Brother Johnson did have a judgment message during the 11th hour. He was given him first, matter of fact, the judgment of the living message. But thank Yahweh, he gave that judgment of the living message the last 33 years of the judgment for the dead, when it was still ongoing. The judgment message he gave the Rhoda Johnson of the living, had a 33-year run on the tail end of the judgment for the dead period. But the completed judgment message during the 11th hour, the angels are to separate the people of Elohim from the people of the world. So, let's bring this up to date now. With the completed judgment message during the 12th hour that we're in now, the angels, five of them, are to separate the people of Elohim from the people of the world. And precisely this inspiration long ago declared. Now, let's get something straight for the first time, maybe. Those five angels with slaughtering weapons in their hands in Ezekiel 9 are the same as those five angels' messages of Revelation 14. They're the same as those five stones that David put in his script, his bag, and used the fifth one to slay Goliath with. They're all one and the same. I then saw the third angel, said my accompanying angel, fearful is his work. Awful is his mission. He is the angel. He is the select of wheat from the tares, and the seal or bind of the wheat for the heavenly garner. These things should engross the whole mind, the whole attention. Early writings, page 118. Consequently, all who respond unto the Spirit call now at this late hour will actually realize, or will acutely realize, that they have no time for the wasting on the getting and spending and land waste their powers. No time to waste on anything, for their only goal will be to finish the task assigned them by Him who calls them to go to work in His vineyard. They will be fully conscious that there is a city prepared for them, a city whose builder and maker is Elohim, and that are erelong therein their whole being shall thrill to the triumph, the acclaim. For the mighty Elohim, even the Yahweh, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof, out of the Zion, with the perfect beauty, perfection of the beauty, Elohim has shined. For our Elohim shall come and shall not keep silence, as is our Yahshua, our Savior. He shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and unto the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by the sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for the Elohim is judge himself. Selah. Psalms 50, verse 1 to 6. Let's do that again. Gather my saints together unto me. The Yahshua is telling you. He's one that he gave his blood for, that he had covered with his blood. Those that have made a covenant with me by the sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For the Yahshua is the judge himself. Psalms 50, verse 1 to 6. Okay. Great is Yahshua and greatly to be praised in the city of our Elohim, the mountain of his holiness. This is the house of David. Beautiful for situation, for the joy of the whole earth is of the Mount Zion on the sides of the north, as the city of the great king. For the Elohim is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, their kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hastened away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in the travail. Thou breakest the ships to the Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Yahweh of the host, in the city of our Elohim. Elohim will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O Yahweh, in the midst of thy temple, according unto thy name, O Yahweh. So is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of the righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it unto the generation following. For this Elohim is our Elohim forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. Psalms 48:1-14. It's actually talking about Yahshua. For the Yahshua is our Savior forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. Because time and the gospel are at their climatic hour, and the work is consequently of the transcendent scope for the expansion and importance yet of the exceeding short duration. Elohim has inspired man for the inventing and for the building time and labor, saving, wonder, working earth, mastering tools and machinery of all kinds, marvels, which would have staggered the imagination and beggared the credulity of the former generation. Notwithstanding that centuries the aforehand, the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, Isaiah 57:15, declared that thou, Daniel, set the words and sealed the book even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, Daniel 12:4. This says, for the fact that this parable of the kingdom thus stands fully open unto the view now for the first time since the Yahshua uttered it, is with the indisputable evidence in itself that the stroke of the 11th hour is about to be heard even unto the four points of the compass, and the stroke of the 11th hour took place in 2002. It's about for this event will signalize the great fact that his last group of the servants are disclosed under the view. Unto the whole world, glorious disclosure. So who are we? Here at the house of David, mountain of the house of Yahweh. Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. In the 12th parabolic hour. We're the 11th hour call servants. And that's the reason why our handle is 11thhourcall.com. Yahweh brought us from getting that 12th hour. 12thhourcall.com. It was impossible at the time, and so we had to settle for the 11th hour call, and incidentally, that was providential. That's the way it's supposed to be. How does this truth find the latest end? The last of the seven churches in which are commingled the wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats, the good fish and the bad fish, and the bad alive, and an attitude of self-complacency, imagining themselves rich and in the need of nothing, whereas in the tragic truth, the Yahshua emphatically declares that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, in need of everything, and yet unwitting of their perilously poverty plight, Revelation 3:14-18, they are even destitute of the knowledge that the judgment of the living, not of the dead, is the last message, and that only those who give ear unto the 11th hour call, and so are to be spared in this separation. How providential is that statement? Our handle, like I told you, is 11thhourcall.com. That's number 11. Okay. And to make up the last group of the servants with the last message. How hitherto blind all of us later sins. How accurate the Yahshua's diagnosis. How grave the condition that all of us immediately, therefore, the more earnestly ask ourselves a solemn question. When finally the judgment passes from the dead unto the living, thus outmoding by expiration the initial phase of the first angel's message, the judgment of the dead, what timely truth will the church then have for herself and for the world? What, indeed, if she does not now accept and practice the message of the very present truth, the final phase of the first angel's message, which is presently announcing the stealthy approach of the judgment upon the living, and which is knocking at each heart's door. Tragically, those who now fail to fill their vessel, Matthew 25:1-4, with this extra, the additional truth, that of the judgment of the living, flowing from the golden bowl, Zechariah 4, will finally see their lamps flicker out forever like a gutted candle. Oh, and what consternation then will they search for the precious golden oil, and with what infinitely greater anxiety, and they now search for the gold and for the prestige. But alas, then, like Esau, though they seek it carefully with the tears, they shall find no place of the repentance, for they purchase their oil too late, for the door is closed when they reach it. And under their frantic knocking at it comes a terrifying reply, I never knew you, Matthew 7:23. Then is the harvest of the first fruits past, the fruits garnered in, and the tares shut out unto the destruction. There in the agony to wail and to gnash their teeth, for the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved, Jeremiah 8:20. For the time of the judgment is the most solemn period of when the Yahshua gathers his own from among the tares. Those who have been members of the same family are separated. A mark is placed upon the righteous. Testimony Ministers, page 234. For the pure ore and the dross will no longer commingle. Testimonies, page 236. The church is to be fed with the manna from heaven and to be kept under the whole sole guardianship of His grace, clad in the complete armor of the light and righteousness. She enters upon her final conflict. The dross, the worthless material, will be consumed, and the influence of the church testifies under the role of a sanctifying and ennobling character. Testimonies to Ministers, page 17 and 18. To safeguard from the corruption his jewels, Malachi 3:17, making them up, he sits them in a house white and clean, apart from the counterfeit ones, the hypocrites. This he does as the parabolical day draws unto his close. Consequently, the 11th hour servants, that would be us, we're called at the end of the 11th hour, to work in the 12th hour, are the first to receive the reward, the penny. So, the house of David gets their reward first. And the fact that Yahshua has set them up governing now his government, it shows that they've already got their penny. They live on to meet their Yahshua, to hear him speak unto them the thrilling commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Savior. Matthew 25:21. It shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our Elohim, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahweh, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 25:9. For as the servants of the previous call wait in the grave to come forth at the resurrection day to join the living in this transporting antiphonal chorus and to receive their penny pay eternal life, thus the last shall be first and the first last. Matthew 20:16. The last root, the servants of the 11th hour paid first, and the servants of the previous hours paid last. Okay, so the servants that are called at the end of the 11th hour to work in the 12th, they're paid first, and they get their pay in the beginning. Okay. But actually, the ones that are paid at the end of the 11th hour, they got paid because they worked the whole 11th hour. They come to the judgment of the 11th hour. That's why they got paid, the house of David. Those that came to the judgment was the ones that got paid first. At Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2002. All who have pursued these pages under this point have surely become aware of the fact that even this very restricted representation of the additional message, that of the judgment of the living, gives in itself tremendous power and force unto the three angels' message, early writings, page 277. But in what way is it to give absolute power and force unto them? First, by bringing to light the hitherto for unrevealed aspects of the judgment of the living, and then subsequently by the freeing of the Elohim's people from both sin and sinners, thereby bringing into the existence the long-looked-for purified church that looked forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army of banners. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. Proverbs and Kings 7:25. A veritable powerhouse indeed. This brings to the end of this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us, number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. I found the answer. I learned to pray. I was weak and weary. I had gone astray. Walking in the darkness, I couldn't find my way. Then a light came shining to lead me from despair. All my sins forgiven, and I was free from care. I found the answer, I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found the way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer, I learned to pray. I was sad and lonely, all my hopes were gone. Days were long and dreary, I couldn't carry on. Then I found the courage to keep my head up high. Once again I'm happy, and here's the reason why. I found the answer, I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found the way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer, I learned to pray. Keep your Bible with you, read it every day. Always count your blessings, and always stop to pray. Learn to keep believing, and faith will see you through. Seek to know contentment, and it will come to you. I found the answer. I learned to pray. With faith, guide me down the way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer.